Hello and welcome to Mashley at the Movies. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Matt.
And joining us today is our friend Grant. Hi, Grant.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for joining us again. This episode is another in our Criterion series. So if you're not familiar with Criterion, they are a company that release quality films on quality Blu-rays and DVDs. And we have this film, The Friends of Eddie Coyle, on Criterion Blu-ray, and we have watched it, and that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, this is directed by Peter Yates, based on a book by George V. Higgins. It stars Robert Mitchum as the titular Eddie Coyle. I was trying to figure out how to frame what he is and his associates are. I mean, I guess the mob is involved somewhere in this, kind of. It feels mob-like, but they're more kind of like thugs or gangsters.
Yeah.
Very blue-collar thugs and gangsters. Eddie does some work for them and has done for many years. But he's about to get sent up for a job he got caught on, and he doesn't want to go. He's got a wife and kids. And so he's been talking to a member of the Treasury Department, seeing about if he starts informing on people, on his associates. Can he maybe not have to go to New Hampshire? The Treasury Department person who he consorts with is played by Richard Jordan, who's also talking with another kind of involved person played by Peter Boyle, who works at a local bar that Eddie Coyle frequents. A lot of other folks that are the friends of Eddie Coyle in here are Alex Rocco, Joe Santos, among others. They do a series of bank robberies that we come across. And so, yeah, that's your basic general setup for The Friends of Eddie Coyle. This came out in 1973. It feels very 70s. You can just feel the grit and the grime coming through your screen. And yeah, Grant, what did you think of it?
Thanks, guys. Well, I think this film is really, really good. As you say, it captures this 1970s feel and the seediness really well, and at times it's like watching a documentary. It feels so real, and the characters all feel so real. The cast is really strong, and Robert Mitchum, I think this is one of his best performances. He really gets into this character, who is a kind of lower level, you know, crook, but probably the one out of them that actually has got some sort of sense of honor amongst thieves. Whereas it seems like every other character you're watching is capable of double-crossing once, twice, three times. you never really trust any of them. And Peter Boyle, who plays the bartender, I think is brilliant as well. And the dynamic he has with Mitchum works, really well. And I kind of feel this is a film which is quite slow. And not a lot happens in the movie. It's very character-driven, right? And there's a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of scenes where people are just talking. But that talking feels so effortless. And as I say, it's like sort of being a fly on the wall in the CD bar as they're talking about, like, the next job or the guns they're going to run or Robert Mitchum's predicament because he doesn't want to go back to jail. I think that you really get sort of wrapped up into it, even though there's not a lot of sort of action sequences for what is ostensibly at least a crime movie.
Yeah, I agree. That's an interesting aspect of this film, is that it is slow paced, but it's never boring. And it's not an action packed crime thriller. And even like the scenes you might expect to be kind of action packed, like our bank robbery scenes that Matt mentioned, those are very kind of slow and quiet as well. There's no guns blazing or anything, but they're so intense, those scenes. So yeah, I really appreciate that aspect of the film. And you're right. There is just this authenticity to the movie. It's set in Boston. It feels like it's during the winter. It's just very gray and, gritty and 70s, like Matt said. It does feel very real. I love pictures that are set or that were made in the 70s and are kind of set in those New England cities, New York and Boston in this case. So yeah, it really does have a unique and special authenticity to it. And I agree that I think this may be one of Robert Mitchum's best performances. he really portrays this inner conflict well that he has. He doesn't want to have to rat on his colleagues, but he feels, an obligation to his family as well. And he manages to portray that very well. So
this is one of my favorite movies. Like, if you were to ask me to, and I already have done this, but if you were to ask me, hey, Matt, can you make a list of your top 50 favorite movies? this would be in amongst them. This is probably maybe only the third time I've seen it in preparation for this episode. The first time I saw it, I was bowled over. I watched it again a few years later and it felt the same. This time, I was enamored with it just as much. Although it's interesting, this third viewing was the first time that I kind of noticed something about the prominence of Eddie Coyle. So, the prior two times I watched it, I very much remembered, okay, Robert Mitchum, and he's Eddie Coyle, and he's the star of this movie, and et cetera. This most recent viewing, I was really caught off guard because I'm like, he's actually almost on the verge of being a background character in this movie. And it really struck me like, oh, so this is why they call it The Friends of Eddie Coyle. Because there are so many scenes that Robert Mitchum just isn't in. And it's basically his friends in quotation marks, but the folks who are doing the bank robberies, the Peter Boyle character, whatever. There's a lot of scenes with them. And then we have Robert Mitchum kind of bumping along in the background. But yet when he's in it, he's Robert Mitchum. He's sort of magnetic. You can't help but watch him. I do think this is one of his best performances. The three of us, I think it was last year, talked about another one of his movies for about 20 years earlier, The Night of the Hunter. And very different roles. But he's just as good in this. He's funny. I've warmed over the years to the 70s films. I used to hate 70s movies. I was not a fan of the grit and the grimy look and the rough look and feel of them. I'm sort of appreciating it a little bit more. This movie definitely has that. I love all the performances. I think it was you, Grant, that said a minute ago, like how the performances kind of seem effortless. I would agree. And I was actually thinking about that and I was watching it because a lot of these actors are people that I'm familiar with. I know who they are. I've seen them in other things. And yet when I'm watching them here, I'm like, I feel like they are these characters. I feel like they're real people almost. And I say that because I contrast that with something like, like a Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman. which I don't know how many of you listening have seen that, but it's a little gangster movie like Guy Ritchie likes to do. And you've got Hugh Grant and Colin Farrell and some other folks, people you recognize. And the whole time I was watching that movie, I mean, I thought it was okay, but I also thought to myself, like, I never at any point did I feel like this is real. I felt like I'm watching actors playing up in these roles, And I think this is completely different in a better way. I don't know. What do you think, Grant?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I really like the way that you said you notice each time you watch it, or this third time you watched it, how Robert Mitchum is not the talisman at the center of this film. And as you said, quite a lot of the film follows actually the sort of young gunrunner he's working with, Stephen Keats, mm-hmm. right? And there's quite a lot of sequences that are just him going about his business in gunrunning, and nothing, Robert Mitchum's not featuring. And I think that speaks to the strength of each of the characters in the script. And when you compare it to lots of sort of crime thrillers, even that were made in the 70s, that might look similar in terms of the grit, lots of them have either some sort of jazzy editing or big set pieces and quite a lot of action. Whereas this film just doesn't have any of that, and it just lets its characters breathe life into the whole thing. And I almost feel like it could be a play, because you don't need any big set pieces or anything. You just need a couple of these guys in a bar talking, or you can change the background on the stage and have them, instead of in a bar, at a ball game, and do the same sort of conversations. and the film would work just as well, almost. It doesn't need that type of jazz, that lots of the films that of his contemporaries sort of had. That said, I do think that the last sort of 20 minutes of the film are really tense. You know, when you know that Robert Mitchum is going to get done in, that's a spoiler, sorry, everyone. the way they do that with Peter Boyle sort of leading him to the ball game, and then there's this sort of young kid who's almost Peter Boyle's apprentice in murder. I think that's done really, really well, as sort of Mitchum gets drunker and drunker. And it sort of symbolises, right, he's just sort of fall from grace completely. And then at the end, there's that shot in the car park of just the car where he is, and it sort of pans out. And I think that's really quite powerful, that, you know, here's Robert Mitchum, but he's just like a dead guy in the car in some random car park outside a bowling alley. And the whole gangster world would have moved on by 6 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's another really good point. I feel like, you know, I mentioned that the production design is authentic. All the dialogue is authentic as well. So that's how I feel like, and it is so dialogue heavy. I think you're right. It could be a play. But we mentioned its slow pace. It's not to say that the movie is boring at all, because there is plot and it is very interesting. And, you know, there's no one can be trusted. And this is all, you know, gleaned from the scenes we see of the various friends of Eddie, and kind of they all have their own interests. They're looking out for themselves, and betrayals can happen at any time. So that kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat as it all comes to a head, you know, in, like you said, in the last 20 minutes. So yeah, it's not action packed, but it does have an intense plot, I think.
Yeah, no. And I want to echo Grant's comments about the last 20 minutes or so. It's just so, the way it's filmed is just so well done. And yeah, you know, Peter Boyle takes Mitchum out to a Boston Bruins hockey game, which is fascinating to watch, you know, some 50 years later, because none of the hockey players are wearing like protective headgear.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But you know, that was a heartbreaking scene, because you know from prior scenes that Peter Boyle is gonna, you know, whack him that night. And so he's like, I don't know, it's almost like a last little hurrah for Eddie Coyle. He gets to go to a hockey game, doesn't even know he's about to get killed. And then the way he's murdered in the car, you don't see it. Like, I don't know, I feel like a modern movie would probably, or Scorsese movie would definitely show the actual kill shot, but they don't in this. The camera, it's off camera, but you hear it. And then, Grant, you just said it perfectly with the car with Eddie Boyle's body in it in the car park outside of Bowling Alley. It's just so sad. And then, you know, what's interesting about that, and then we are really heading into spoilers here, but when the hit gets put out on Eddie Coyle, because the bank robbers were caught by the Treasury Department, and the people who ordered the hit believe it was, you know, Eddie Coyle who ratted them out. And so Peter Boyle's like, sure, yeah, okay. I mean, eventually he's like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. I looked at Ashley during that, you know, because again, it's been a few years since I've seen this. So it's been enough time since like the last time I'd watched this that it was fairly fresh for me. And I was like, you know, maybe I've forgotten in the intervening years, or maybe I missed it. But I said, Where did I miss the scene where he ratted them out to the feds? And we come to find out at the very last scene of the movie that it was not him, it was Peter Boyle. So Peter Boyle murdered Eddie Coyle for something that Peter Boyle actually did, yeah. Which I'm sure he was more than happy to do. Speaking of, I want to go back to Scorsese for a moment. So as I mentioned earlier, this is directed by Peter Yates. I thought about Martin Scorsese when I was watching this, because Martin Scorsese is known for, among other things, mob movies, right? And I want to say I have a lot of respect for Martin Scorsese, and I like some of his movies. I'm not a big fan of mob movies in general, though, including his. And one of the things I don't like about them is I don't like the scenes where people get capped. He has a lot of scenes in his movies where, like, all of a sudden somebody's getting capped in the head, you know? I'm just not a fan of that. And that's when we did our review for Killers of the Flower Moon. I mentioned that because that almost started to turn into a Scorsese mob movie, because there's this whole scene where in succession you see Native Americans getting offed and some of them get capped in the head. And I'm like, oh no, this is turning into a Scorsese mob movie. I bring this up because I think I realized when watching this movie for a third time why I don't like those Scorsese scenes. And it's because they lack suspense. They are too brief. Like, there's a quote that's been attributed to Hitchcock, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's something about, like, you know, suspense is something like knowing that there's a bomb underneath a table and you're not sure about when it's going to go off or something like that. And that the Friends of Eddie Coyle is filled with a lot of those type of scenes, especially the bank robbery scenes, but like it, where there's just these kind of long set pieces where there's just nothing but tension and some suspense. And you don't know if anyone's going to get, you know, if it's going to go awry and if anyone's going to get killed or not. And that's why I was thinking about this movie. I was like, I love those scenes in this movie. I mean, they're tense, but I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, you know what? This is what my Scorsese mob movies are missing. Because he'll just have a scene where the scene will open, like somebody, like within 20 seconds or 15 seconds, somebody will be hustled into a room and capped. Or the scene will open and the car will be pulling up into a cornfield or something, and somebody will get out of the car and then they're whacked. And they just lack suspense and tension. And a lot of folks obviously seem to like that. Okay. I'm not a fan of that. I'm a fan of suspense. And this movie, Friends of Eddie Coyle, to me has that in spades. So I've talked a lot. I'll throw it back to you, Grant.
Yeah, I agree with that, Matt. And I think one of the reasons the suspense works so well is the film spends so much time building up to that. You know, whereas in Scorsese's movies, quite a lot of the time, people get in whacked at relatively minor characters, right? You don't know much about them, they're scumbags, and you don't care. Whereas in this film, you really feel for Robert Mitchum. And there's a great, great bit in the bar where he's sort of sitting at the bar and he's really depressed. He's wrestling with his conscience, and then Peter Boyle just sort of keeps giving him beer, right? Mm-hmm. And he's edging him on, you know, egging him on, basically, so that he's lubed up, if you like, easy for Peter Boyle to sort of get rid of. And that's a really painful thing to watch. And I wanted to say as well, I think one of Robert Mitchum's real strengths always in all his films is his face. He's got a lived-in face, right? And in this film, he looks like Eddie Coyle should look. You know, he's a bit worn, he's got bags, he's always sort of looks a bit like bleary-eyed, drinks too much, he smokes. And I think he just wonderful, sort of almost like a caricature, but one that works well. And there's a lovely tender scene as well where he's got like a little dumpy Irish wife. and if you remember, there's a scene where sort of, you know, they embrace and they kiss. And it's really quite sweet, actually. And it sort of occurs three quarters of the way through the film. And she's really behind him, right? She's kind of, you know, she knows what his sort of business is. And she knows there's a risk of him going to jail. And she's kind of like, you know, we'll get through it and stuff like that. And I just think that's a really sweet, tender moment in an otherwise quite dark film, really. And just one last thing is Richard Jordan, who plays the cop, guy trying to sort of who's Peter Boyle is sort of telling all the informant stuff on. I thought he did really, really a good job in this film, and because I think those types of roles in these films are quite hard to pull off, and he pulls off that sort of two-sided, slightly dodgy cop really quite well. And also he's got quite a lot of style in the film, right? He's got this sort of like brown leather jacket. He looks very 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Richard Jordan, as a little aside, he was a favorite of my maternal grandmother. I don't know why she loved Richard Jordan. And he died kind of young. He died of a brain tumor. He got sick while he was filming The Fugitive, actually, with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones, and had to bow out of that. So, but yeah, you're right, Grant. You know, he did a good job here. And yeah, you mentioned him earlier, but I wanted to point out Stephen Keats, who plays kind of a young, the gunrunner that Robert Mitchum works with. I thought he did a good job in this. And I recognized him, actually. I had to look up his filmography. I recognized him from an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Of course.
And...
course.
back in the 80s. And yeah, I mean, you know, he kind of died tragically in his 40s. He committed suicide. So I was sad to see that. But one final thing I wanted to mention about this movie is, I'll try not to get on a soapbox. But they use the N-word in here. And I remember the first time I watched this movie, I was a little taken aback, not just because, you know, I'm someone living in the modern age, but, you know, I'm part Black. And Robert Mitchum, just that, his character, that rolls off his tongue, you know. And they only say it once. But after the initial shock wore off, you know, because, you know, even back in whenever the 90s, whenever I first saw this, you know, that wasn't commonplace in films back then. But I was like, you know, I was okay with it because I'm like, look, man, there's people out there that use that word. There's particularly, you know, back in the early 70s, and particularly probably people like Robert Mitchum's character. It felt, you know, authentic. And I kind of like that. I know, like, we're in an era now where, like, warning labels get put up before, like, movies or TV shows that are old, like, you might be offended by this or whatever. And I'm just like, you know what? That's, you know, times change, language evolves, views evolve, and people become hopefully more enlightened. But that doesn't mean we should pretend like, you know, characters like this or people like this didn't exist. And to me, that feels real. So I just kind of want to mention that just in case, you know, if you're thinking about watching this movie before you go in, understand they do drop the N word in there. So, yeah. All right. So I'll start with you, Grant. What did you give this out of 10?
I'm going to give the Friends of Eddie Coyle a big fat 9 out of 10.
All right. Same here. I'll give it a 9. Ashley?
8.4.
All right. 8.8 is what it is for us. That's the Friends of Eddie Coyle. Grant, thanks for joining us.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
And thank you all for listening.
Thank you.